Going to be talking about Jesus' end time lecture or discourse. Have world events been catching your attention at all? If you're a Bible student, I think they must have stirred up a renewed interest in the idea that Jesus might come back at any time. He spoke these words in Luke chapter 21 almost 2,000 years ago. So we know his return's closer than back then, but he wanted his disciples to know that information then because they needed it, like we need it today. I know Jesus' return is closer than it was last week, than it was yesterday. It could be today, it could be tomorrow. This is called the Olivet Discourse. It's because Jesus spoke these words from the Mount of Olives as he was looking at the city of Jerusalem and the temple. It's really relevant for our day. The songs we sung today remind us of some important things. Jesus is the Son of God, the Lord of all, the Creator of all, the returning King. We have nothing to fear if we trust in him. So these are key truths that Jesus wanted his disciples to know then, and he wants us to know now until he returns. Eschatology. It's made from two Greek words, eschatos, which means last, and logiai, study. The study of last things. So, do you want to study last things or get a little bit sharper on when Jesus might come back or how to be ready for his return? This is a great place to start. Read Luke chapter 21. Read the parallel account in Matthew chapter 24 and in Mark 13. And then get a good Bible study. Study Bible, excuse me. And look at the notes. And it'll help you begin to put it together. So this morning, here's my target. Jesus gives nine exhortations here. Nine things he says, do this or don't do that. So there's nine of them. We're going to focus on those. And I've divided it into six main subjects, and thus the outline that's in your bulletin. All right, or you could pick up. Nine exhortations, six main topics to talk about so that we believe Jesus is the Christ, so we stand firm in our faith in him and we obey him more, so we're ready for Jesus' return. Point one, temple warning. We didn't read it, but let's read it together, verses 5 through 11. And the key verses there, see that you are not led astray. Jesus had just been in a temple. They had just come out of the temple. Remember, he had talked about the widow's offering. Her two pennies had given so much more than all those who had given out of their riches. So it's in that context, as they were coming out of the temple, we look at verse 5. And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, as for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And they asked him, teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? And he said, see that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, and do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once. Two exhortations there. See that you are not led astray. The temple, when Jesus was there in 33 AD, standing there talking about it, it was a beautiful building. Renovations had started in 20 BC. 20 years before Jesus was born. So it had been being rebuilt, enlarged. The area around the temple was magnificent. The stones were huge. Think of a railroad boxcar, and that's how big some of the stones are. Amazing. Hand-carved stones that fit perfectly together. It was a beautiful building. It was a massive structure. It would not be finished being renovated or enlarged until 64 AD. 20 BC to 64. Years and years of renovation. The nations had given money to help adorn it, had given gifts to make it a beautiful structure. As a matter of fact, it was considered one of the seven wonders of the world at that time. It was a tourist attraction, by the way. It was a place you wanted to see if you had a bucket list at the time, if you were one of those people. If you saw a structure like that, you would assume that it would be around for a very, very long time. So Jesus had some surprising news. It's not going to be standing for very long. There's not going to be one stone left of that beautiful temple on top of the other. That was startling news. Do you realize the Jews, when they prayed daily, would turn toward the temple? Wherever they were, they would face that temple, and it was going to be gone, this most beautiful structure. How startling for those who thought Jesus was about to bring God's kingdom, and what a perfect temple, the most glorious temple that had ever been built to this time, because the first one had been destroyed. The second one had been built, and now this, some people call it the third temple, had been expanded into this beautiful area of worship. Why would God destroy the most glorious temple that had ever existed, where he could be worshiped? Because what impresses people doesn't impress God. You notice the disciples asked, when is this going to happen? And Jesus, did not answer the question. He said, don't be led astray. Don't be fooled by people who come and say, I'm the Messiah, or he's over there, or maybe he's over here. You need to go out into the wilderness to see him. Don't believe him. Don't be led astray by false teachers. The second exhortation is, and don't be terrified about wars. Don't be terrified when earthquakes happen. Don't be terrified when famines and pestilence come. The end will not be at once. Before all this, it says in verse 12, there's going to come persecution. I need to get a drink. I'm okay, I think. Jesus knows the future. He knows the future for the whole world. He knows how many days are left for this planet to be as it is now. He knows how long Grace Chapel will be a functioning corporate body. Will there be a day when this body no longer functions? I don't know, but he does. Or if it will be standing firm in the gospel when he returns. And he knows your future. He can be trusted, because he's a good God and he's a good shepherd. So don't be deceived by troubling times to give up on your faith, but stand firm with Christ. Just remember, Jesus starts this lecture on end times with prophetic words that says, don't be led astray and don't be terrified. So don't allow lazy indifference to undermine your belief and walk with the risen Lord. Stay firm. Don't be fooled and don't be terrified. I know what's happening. I'm the Lord. Secondly, he gives us encouragement when persecution comes. In verses 12 through 19, he talks about coming persecution on his disciples. So just remember this. They ask, when is all this going to happen? And Jesus doesn't even answer the question. By the way, do you know when the temple was destroyed? In 70 AD by the Romans. Interesting. All those years it had been fixed in 64 AD. It was there, beautiful, and in 6 years it would be no more. Amazing. But before all this, it says in verses 10 and 11, before all these things happens, nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom and earthquakes and all those things, before all this, you're going to be persecuted for following me. There's no true peace until Jesus returns. Our bent, humanity's bent for sin just can't bring lasting peace. So settle this truth in your thinking so that evil never overwhelms you and you give up on God. Christ does predict persecution for his people. There's no promise for me of smooth times and comfort. I've never been really persecuted for following Jesus. Maybe ridiculed a little bit, maybe made a little bit fun of, but my life has never been threatened. My economic status has never been threatened or lowered because I'm a follower of Jesus. If you have experienced that kind of life, that is a gift from God. But Jesus says, don't expect it. There's no promise of smooth times. If we experience a time of relative peace, it's a gift from God. This persecution that we read about that Gabrielle and Linda read a little bit earlier, they're going to lay your hands on you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to deliver you up. It applies to the church age until Jesus returns. So settle this in your thinking. You may, in your lifetime, have to experience persecution for following Jesus. Just be ready for it if it comes. Don't be surprised by it because Jesus said it would come on those who follow him. So if it does, what does Jesus say? Well, he gives us great encouragement. Look at verse 13. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. So when persecution comes, maybe some of you here have experienced that for your faith. Then let it be an opportunity to be a witness to God's truth, to speak the gospel. That's happened to many people and lands going on right now. And you know, the church always grows when it's persecuted. It's shrinking where there isn't persecution. So look for the opportunity to tell the truth about Jesus, even if it's just in school being ridiculed or at work or being told to be quiet. Don't be afraid to live for Christ, to speak for Christ. Other encouragement, look at verse 14. Settle it therefore in your minds. Get this settled in our hearts and minds, not to meditate, not to worry about what you'll do or what you'll say, because God the Spirit is there to help us to do that when the time comes. The grace will be there to live for Christ, to be true to Christ, to stand for Christ if we need to do that. God's grace will be there. Settle this in our thinking so that if it does come on us, we won't be surprised, but we will stay faithful. Look at verses 17 and 19. Here's great encouragement. This isn't good news, but there's encouragement at the end. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Hey, family may betray you for being a follower of Jesus. Relatives, friends, but I will stay with you. Even if you die, not a hair of your head will be touched. He's talking about the soul. The real you will live on forever. Even if your family turns against you, even if you suffer physical death for following Christ, you are safe in God's hands. Don't be led astray by false teachers. Don't be upset or terrified when terrible things begin to happen. Persecution doesn't mean that Jesus is abandoning his followers. Persecution gives us an opportunity to stand true for God. Your new life in Christ can't be taken away. Not a hair of your head will be touched. Hold on to to your faith. Be encouraged. Those are exhortations. Thirdly, the destruction of Jerusalem. Look at verses 20 through 24. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are on the inside of the city depart, and let not those who are in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Why did God allow the temple of Jerusalem to be destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC? Because the Jewish people were worshiping idols, because the Jewish people weren't being faithful to their God. They weren't loving him. They were pursuing evil instead of justice and mercy and walking humbly with God. If you want to read about that, just read Isaiah chapter 1. We won't take time this morning to read that, but it's a great summary that they had forgotten their God. They had gone astray. Why would God allow the best ever temple be destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Because Jesus told us there was empty worship. They didn't know their God when he visited them in person, in the flesh. There was no love for God. There was no love for God's mercy. There was no love for God's justice. There was greed. There was murder. There was hatred. You ever think about your sin much? The sins of our youth humble us. Boy, I was stupid. I was unwise. Our present sins and weaknesses, they kind of make us anxious. God, can you forgive me for doing this for the 100th time? This week, this month, they make us anxious. We know we shouldn't be doing them, and yet we fall into them. And then the possibilities of where we might go with temptations may trouble our hearts, and we may grow a little faint. Christ knows all about our sins, our past sins, our present sins, our future. Nothing happens outside his knowledge. So turn to him. Ask for forgiveness from him. Trust and don't waver, believers, in your faith because of your failures or other people's failures. Be in community. Help each other hold on to Jesus, to stay firm, to come back to him, to bring others back to him when they're stumbling and failing. That's why he called us together. He has the power to do it. Keep it in mind. Jesus has perfect knowledge. God is going to take care of evil. There was this exhortation to flee Jerusalem when it was surrounded. Did you know in 70 AD when the Romans came, because the Jews had revolted to punish the Jewish people, that the Christians living in Jerusalem fled the city because they took Jesus' words here, we believe, for what they were. They fled the city. They, as my mom used to say, run for the hills. They did. They ran for the hills. They got out of the city. And those events in 70 AD, almost 2,000 years ago, getting close to it, are, I believe, a mirror of events that are going to happen again in Jerusalem. So keep your eyes on Jerusalem. Fulfill prophecies that are going to be experienced again. And by the way, if persecution comes, it's not cowardly to flee for the hills. It's kind of wise. Don't look for death. But if it comes on you because you're a follower of Christ and there's no escape, do not worry for the hairs on your head, because you are safe in the hands of Jesus Christ if you stay faithful to him. These words of God are very unsettling about vengeance. The sins of the Jewish nation had piled up since they'd returned to Jerusalem in the exile from when they were taken to Babylon. And God noted them in his book, wherever God's book is. The unbelief, their ignorance, their pride had piled up a dam of judgment that burst forth, and God used the Romans to punish them and to scatter them. And they're still scattered. But there'll be a day when they'll be gathered back, when the times of the Gentiles come to an end and God's focus begins again to be on his chosen people. And what's true for the Jewish people, who had all the advantages and grace of God to be a light to the nations, is true for the nations who refuse to turn to God. It's true for me personally. If I refuse Christ, I will experience God's wrath and judgment when I see him face to face. But you know what the gospel says? There's no need for me to fear Jesus' return. He desires to save us, not condemn us. So settle it in your mind and hearts, people. God is not ignoring the evil in the world. He's writing it down in his book. And he will justly avenge those who resist him. But let me tell you, don't face God's justice without the haven of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's a protector. He's a fortress. God will take care of us. Fourth, future events. Look at verses 25 through 28. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on earth, distress of the nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Future events, raise your heads, your redemption is drawing near. There's going to be signs in the heavens. The world is going to be in distress just before Jesus returns. And people are going to be fainting with fear, it says in verse 26. When God appears in all his glory, even when it's not for judgment, it's a terrifying thing. You remember the Mount Sinai, when Moses went up to the mountain to get the law of God, the Ten Commandments? And the people saw, and God came down in a cloud on that mountain, and there was thunder and lightning, and his loud voice was speaking, and the people just wanted to hide. They said, Moses, you go up there, we'll stay down here. You go face him. Moses did and lived. But when God's presence comes in glory, whether it's in judgment or not, it's a fearful thing. Hey, when holy angels show up, people fall over and act like they're dead. They faint in fear. The Roman soldiers at Jesus' tomb, when it was just a holy angel, it wasn't even God. It's terrifying. So when you see these things happening, know that your redemption is drawing nigh. Verse 28, now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Hey, I thought I was already redeemed. How can my redemption be drawing near? If I'm a believer in Christ, I'm already redeemed. Well, he's speaking of full redemption, full salvation, being in God's presence without fear and without sin anymore. What's it going to be like when we're fully redeemed? We're going to see that all we believed about Jesus is true. We'll be vindicated. We'll be seen that was the right thing to believe. When our redemption comes in all its fullness, everything we gave up in this world to follow Jesus will be seen as the wise choice. All we suffered in enduring to love God and others more than ourselves will be paid back 100-fold, Jesus says. 100 times over. Just giving us a picture, I don't think it's limited to 100 times, but it's going to. You ever get 100% interest on anything you've invested in? I'd love to see that, but God promises that. Don't be led astray. Don't be unsettled by the turmoil of the world and evil. Persecution, it's an opportunity, so don't fear it. You are in God's hands. Jerusalem's destruction is God's working of justice, and he is going to work it again, maybe very soon in this world. Be hopeful. Raise up your heads. Jesus is returning soon. And then Jesus gives us some assurances. Look at verse 29. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. Hey, summer is on its way, by the way. Have you noticed the trees? So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all this has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. That's an assurance. Don't jump to wrong conclusions. Please do not get involved in date setting or trying to figure out when Jesus is going to come back. You're wasting your time. Just be ready. Don't be surprised by Jesus' return. Don't jump to wrong conclusions. Just learn from the fig tree. It's closer than it was yesterday. When the events line up, you know God's kingdom is nearby. By the way, don't be absorbed by politics. This is an election year. Don't be absorbed by it, but be aware and mark political events. Israel's formation is a marker. Wars are markers. Environmental issues are markers. World unrest and fear and turmoil are markers. Faith growing cold, churches closing and being empty are signs that faith is lessening. What do you do? Is the fig tree starting to bud in end time things? Draw near to Jesus. Do his will, no matter if things are peaceful or in turmoil. The generation that sees all these earthly and heavenly events kind of like lining up are going to see Jesus return. So settle this in your mind and in your hearts. What Jesus says will happen, and don't doubt it. But if I don't get to see it, it's okay. Be assured that the generation that does is going to need a lot of grace to stand true through it all. How does Jesus close this teaching? Look at verse 34. But watch yourselves. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that the day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch yourselves. The holiest believers are exposed to spiritual dangers. Jesus was speaking these words to his apostles, 11 of the 12, who were so faithful, they believed They were followers of Jesus. They followed him even to dying. The only one who got to live to old age was John the Apostle. They truly believed. They truly followed. They needed to hear this, and so do I. So do you. Hey, you remember Abraham, right? Father of faith. Pretty famous guy in the Bible. You remember Lot? He was called a righteous man. You remember Noah? He was the only righteous guy in his family in the whole world before the flood. You remember Moses. You remember David. Well, each one of these men were called righteous. They were called friends of God, lovers of God, and they fell into serious sins. So watch yourselves. Be humble. Seek God and one another's help to stay true, because I don't think it's going to get easier, but life is always going to get a little harder to stay true. Our faith has a way of wearing down if we don't build it up. Sin has a way of wearing us out if we don't avoid it or find strength against it through one another in the Word of God and asking for God's help. Be aware of all the vices. Some of them are really easy to point out, right? Don't murder. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't commit adultery. But beware of the subtle vices: pride, indifference, excesses that make me self-centered and a little stingy and don't think of others first. Look at verse 36 of this passage. Jesus says, "But stay awake at all times." Exhortation: stay awake. Don't say, "Where's the promise of his return?" Hey, I thought Jesus was coming back in the 80s when I was in high school. Well, it's been a few years since then. But don't be one of those people to say, "Where's the promise of his return? It's just not going to happen in my lifetime." Stay awake. Don't be like that. Don't practice dissipation, excesses, overindulgent, misuse of the gifts and things that God has given you. Stay awake and stay prayerful. So depend on God. Don't depend on yourself. Don't even depend on family and friends, because they might betray you. Depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this daily battle. J.C. Ryle preached in the 1800s. Here's what he said. What? They had trouble in the 1800s with sin? I guess so. What's my trouble? My own treacherous heart. That's a problem. Me, my heart can walk away from God, become selfish, forget the things of God. I have to do daily battle with it. And then there's the world, the ensnaring world. It's out there. Buy me. Follow me. Look like me. Act like me. You want to be cool. You want to be famous. The world's always trying to ensnare us and drag us away from the things of God. And then on top of that, my own heart, the world, there's a busy devil. He knows where God's people are, and he wants to pull us apart, pull us down. He goes after God's beloved ones. But Jesus is by our side. What do you think? Is Jesus returning? And will it be soon? His end times teaching is urging us to be ready to meet him. Are you ready to meet your creator, your judge? He came to give us eternal life, not to rob us of life, but to move us to everlasting life. He purchased forgiveness for us by dying for our sins, by dying for our evil thoughts and all those deeds. He conquered it in his death and resurrection. So embrace him. Trust his word. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Look up, follower of Jesus. Your redemption is nigh. It's near. Look up. Hang on. Believe. Stay true. Stay faithful. His word can be trusted. Look up and find eternal life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I ask you for your honor and glory that your word that never fails would fill our hearts, that we wouldn't become unsettled by the turmoil and the unsettledness and the unknown in our own lives right now. So, Lord, I ask you to fill us with faith so we trust you, so that we will be faithful and walk with you to the end, no matter what comes, good, peaceful times, or troubling times. Lord, keep your promise to keep us safe, that we don't have to fear a hair of our head being lost, that you will take care of your own. Lord, do this for your people so that many can see and believe. We ask you to do this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.